Good evening. Today's scripture is from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 1b through 11, and verses 20 and 21. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His picked officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumed them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang unto them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, thou who art our strength and our redeemer. Amen. I love to celebrate. My entire life, I have loved to celebrate. This spirit of celebration began when I was very young. I would plan my birthday parties about 6 months in advance, presenting my mother with invitations and guest list, thematic suggestions, and decoration ideas. But I did not just like to celebrate my birthday. I liked to celebrate your birthday, your friend's birthday, Christmas, Easter, International Pancake Day. Pretty much the list is endless. If there is a celebration, I am there, party favors in hand. So when I initially read this passage, I was inspired. A loud song of praise and proclamation to God, sign me up. However, upon reading a second and third and fourth time, I was reminded that there's a little more to the story. Have you ever been to a celebration where it felt a bit odd to be celebrating? A friend told me a story about a dear friend of hers named Pamela, who was suffering from liver failure. My friend described walking with Pamela through this terrible illness. She watched as her friend suffered extensively at the hand of a disease that was relentless. In Pamela's last moments, all of her loved ones gathered around her and helped and usher her as she walked into God's arms. As she took her last breath, they all began to sing, This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. After her death, her celebration looked a little bit different than one might expect. They held a celebration of praise for her life, dressed in decadent colors, and returned to a friend's house where there was a DJ and dancing and partying and Pamela's favorite Italian food. An odd time to be celebrating. You see, there were two poignant moments occurring here. There was a celebration of life, but there was a celebration of freedom from bondage of a disease that would not let go, that would only continue to cause pain and destruction inside the body of a woman desperate to be free. She finally let go in peace, but this celebration on that day was not the end. It was only the beginning of a journey of healing for her friends and family left here on earth. An odd time to celebrate. Taking a look back at our scripture, the people of Egypt have been enslaved for over 400 years. For generations, they've experienced bondage, captivity, despair. They have been forgotten and oppressed. And in a moment, they seek a journey to freedom, to escape their oppressor. But in the story just before this, they're not in the clear just yet. Pharaoh sends his army after them. They think they're about to be caught and taken back into captivity, or much worse, killed, when God's solemn hand crushes the oppressor. God parts the Red Sea, the waters crash over them, and they are in a moment free. They sing loud songs of praise to God. I imagine that the story would go, their oppressor is crushed, they sing praise to God, they are free and victorious, conquerors, free to a life of happiness and beauty. But you see, we find quite the opposite. We find 40 more years of journeying through the wilderness, hunger, famine, sickness, death. Have they not suffered enough, O God? We discover here that the party at the end of the struggle is just the beginning. The healing has yet to begin, and though they are free in spirit, they are never free from darkness. So what does this story tell us about God? As we've described above, we learn that God fulfills promises. God did deliver the people from slavery. God promised to free them, but as we find, God did not promise that the road would be easy. We learn also that God gives people chances. You see, God gave Pharaoh time and time again chances to do the right thing to free the people of Egypt. God, in fact, gave him so many chances with increasing intensity that finally God said, "No more, you will not raise your hand of evil once more to my people. Let my people go." God gives people chances, but hear these words once more. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The enemy boasted, "I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them." But you blew with your breath. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. As the leader, it was supposed to be Pharaoh's role to care for the people. God gives us chances to love the people over and over. But God will not let the evil of slavery and oppression have the last word. We learn this again and again through stories of the Bible and through the very foundation of our faith as Christians, the death and resurrection of Jesus. The very faith upon which we stand proclaims that on third day, God's love wins. Yes, God gives people chances, but the oppressor will not win. Mahatma Gandhi is historically known as one of the main leaders of the independence movement in India, against British rule in the 1930s and 40s. Famously, Gandhi used a word, satyagraha, a word he used to denote civil resistance. This word translates to holding fast to the truth that God fulfills promises, the truth that God gives people chances, the truth that God's love wins. Holding fast to the truth, who are we to be in this story? Are we to be Pharaoh? Are we to be the oppressor ruling over an army instructing people to destroy? Are we the captives in need of release? I believe at times that we can relate in varying ways to each of these roles. I see a world around us struggling to release the captive. My pondering tonight is, are we taking risks to help release the oppressed from their oppressor? This story tells me that God is for the oppressed, the least of these. And if God is for the oppressed, the least of these, then whom are we to love? One might say, we don't see oppression like what the people of Egypt experiences. That seems an exaggeration. We don't see extremism playing out in that way in present day. But I would challenge to say that we have many around us who are oppressed, waiting for our love of God to move us to freedom. International Justice Mission, an organization who fights to free those experiencing modern-day slavery, has found that over 45 million people are still affected by slavery today. The UN Refugee Agency reports that there are an estimated 65.6 million refugees who have been forcibly displaced from their homes. 16% of those refugees have found a home here in the United States, and in 2016 alone, 2,051 of those people found their way here to Nashville. Open Table Nashville tells us that there are an estimated 23,000 people experiencing homelessness. 8,000 of those people are children. How can we release the captive in the world around us? How can we create a ripple effect, causing a loud cry of praise and proclamation to God, answering God's call to let my people go? I believe we have tangible ways around us to truly give freedom to people of our community and world. We have ministries within our community which invite us to have an active role in releasing people from poverty. Within our South Africa ministry, you can sponsor the education of a child and a teacher. This ministry is committed to releasing children from poverty through the power of education. You can volunteer weekly with Project Transformation, reading alongside a child, helping to aid in their education. Our orphan foster adoption ministry works to provide opportunities for our community to help vulnerable children. Throughout the month of October, our Refugee Life ministry is writing letters to refugees in Syria, giving them, hopefully, hope. You can help International Justice Mission in their fight against modern-day slavery by supporting our student ministry in Rock the Chains Battle of the Bands, where proceeds go to IJM. And we can serve the unhoused community through Room in the Inn, helping to provide shelter to those without a place to rest their head during the winter months. These ministries were birthed through the passion of lay people of this community who said, I see a need and I hold fast to the truth that God's love wins. This song of Miriam and Moses reminds us about the victory of freedom. And though the road of struggle may continue as we journey through life, we have a pursuit to create the kingdom of God here and now. John Wesley's words remind me that commitment as a follower of Christ should look a little differently. Wesley says we should be moved towards a pursuit of Christian perfection, which he describes as a heart habitually filled with the love of God and neighbor. John Wesley makes that pretty clear for us, doesn't he? God promised to always be with us. God promised to give us chances over and over, but challenges us to show the world why we are Christians. Wesley tells us it should look obvious through our words and deeds. May we go forth tonight knowing that we are all children of God who will endure struggle, but we have the power and charge to help to release the oppressed and give freedom to those in need time and time again. Now that is something that we all can celebrate. Amen.